Morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. I've thoroughly enjoyed the service so far, and one thing that really struck me was the beautiful singing downstairs, "He is all I need." And then this last song, we long for that place free from sin and free from guilt. Title of the sermon this morning is "The Unconditional Love of God." How many of you believe that God loves you? Probably all of us would raise our hand and say, yes, absolutely, we believe God loves us. God is a God of love, and He loves me personally. He loves you personally. And that's a simple truth that we believe. We've been taught that and understand that from an intellectual perspective. But the greater question is, do you know the love of God? How is your relationship with God? Do you feel God's love? Are there doubts and discouragement about God's love towards you? We probably find ourselves on a bit shakier ground when we look at God's love from that perspective. The Bible is full of the promises of God, promises of God's love. Probably the first verse that comes to our mind when we think of God's love is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Also another verse, 1 John 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." It is really hard to grasp the tremendous gift of God's love. And I think that so many times our view of God's love is tainted by the imperfections and inconsistencies of our own love for others, or of other people's love towards us. Do you feel you are loved unconditionally by your spouse, by your family, or by your church brotherhood? We as men would say pretty quickly that we would do anything for our wife. We as brothers in Christ, when we commit to the brotherhood and are become a part of the body of Christ, we think we know what brotherly love is. Love looks easy when there's nothing to forgive. It's hard to imagine struggling with a brother when the going is easy. But it doesn't take long, and we run into the inconsistencies and the humanity of our love. We put conditions on love without even meaning to. The reservations that show up as soon as someone hurts us. Though we still say that we love unconditionally, but why is it so hard to love when we are taken advantage of or let down? Why do we have selfish motives that don't really demonstrate our love for others? Why is it easier to love someone whom we have no problem getting along with, or someone who loves us back? God's love is not like that. God's love is so much greater and so perfect. God shows unconditional love. Remember, He is love. Could it be that many of our struggles and difficulties in life are because we don't grasp the unconditional love of God? Do I really believe in the unconditional love of God? God really does love me. God really does love you. I hope this morning that this sermon on unconditional love of God will encourage us and give us confidence as we not only look at the fact that God loves us, but how much He really does love us. Romans 5 verse 8, "But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God loves us as sinners. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It includes me, each of us personally. There wasn't a condition that said, "I will love you once you get your life in order." And you show me that you really do love me. No, while we were yet sinners, even in our most wicked state, He loved us so much, He wanted to get us out of the bondage and turmoil of our own wrong choices, trouble that we got ourselves into of our very own choosing, that curse we created for ourselves. That's love. Can you think of one good reason He should have saved us from our stubborn carnality? I can't, but He does. There are all sorts of reasons that we may struggle with understanding the unconditional love of God. Maybe it is because we don't really quite believe it. or understand it. And as I was mentioning already, it's not our natural response to love unconditionally. So that means we have to adjust our thinking. Maybe it's because of guilt. How could God really love me if I've done this wickedness in my life? Or I've treated him so cold and carelessly? Well, the fact is we all are unworthy of God's love. No one deserves his unconditional love. Maybe it's because we question the things that God has brought into our life. How could God allow hardships? What about self-will? Why would he give us self-will that can harm us? He also chastens us. That's divine discipline, you could say. That causes pain and hurt. And then there is pain and hurt that comes from so many more things in life. Why does he allow war, sickness, and death? How could God send souls to hell if he loves unconditionally? Romans 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. John 3 verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Unconditional love and the wrath of God. How do we reconcile all that with the unconditional love of God? Well, God's word tells us, and hopefully we can answer some of those questions this morning as we look into the scriptures. You return to Ephesians 3 for starters. Read a few verses here. Ephesians 3 verses 14 through 19. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I really want to know and understand this love, unconditional love of God. God's love is amazing. We sing the children's song, the love of Jesus is so wonderful. It's so high you can't get over it. It's so low you can't get under it. It's so wide you can't get around it. I thoroughly enjoyed watching and listening to the children sing that song in summer Bible school. Maybe we need a little bit more of a childlike heart as we think about the love of God. It is so important that we understand God's love. I said near the beginning of the sermon that I wonder if so many of our struggles and troubles come about because we don't truly understand the love of God towards us. I think verse 17 proves that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Sureness in the love of God brings stability, peace, and rest. There are also a couple of other things to note here in Paul's prayer. Access to the Father through prayer. That is love. God made it possible for us to have access to him through Jesus. We can be a part of the family of God. He also knows our name. You know that personal touch when someone knows your name, calls you by name. God not only knows our name, but he knows and understands everything about us. It also mentions the inner workings of the Spirit in our life. Sometimes those battles of the mind and soul seem so hard and unloving. But it's God's love. He sends his Spirit to minister to us, to convict us and nurture us, all for our benefit, in spite of how we respond in anger and frustration at times, too often. God keeps working. He keeps loving. He keeps strengthening. Without those battles, there would be no right or wrong. There would be no victories. I mentioned the children's song in relation to these verses. So how wide is God's love? We have those listed here, the breadth and length and depth and height. God's love is so wide, we can't get around it. Meaning God's love is so wide that it includes everyone. Every race, every nation, from every continent, every class, every age, every shape and size. I'm glad he loves short people. He loves male and female. He loves every human being. Whether you hear these words or not, or whether you believe these words or not, God loves you. If God loves everyone, that means he loves the sinners. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are born into sin, but God loves us. He loves the liars, the thieves, the gangsters, the gossipers, the murderers, the drunken, the addicts, the homosexual, and we could keep on with the list. We tend to class sin or quantify sin. God still loves us no matter where we find ourselves or have found ourselves. God's love is so wide that he loves through every situation. It may not even be the direct result of sin. Whatever situation we find ourselves, single, married, widowed, even divorced, healthy, sick, employed or unemployed, rich or in debt, homed or homeless, free or incarcerated. You can think about God's love as one big, gigantic hug that we can't escape. And that almost cheapens it too much. But God's love is immeasurably wide. God's love is so long, also, we can't reach the end of it. Our God's love is so long, it never ends. It reaches from the foundation of the world and into eternity. One big word that sums it up is infinite. Here again, we find it hard to comprehend because all of the love we know and associate with tend to have some sort of qualification. Till death do us part, at best. Human love has a timer, so to speak. I love you in the good times. I love you until I get bored with you. I love you until I don't need you anymore. I love you until someone better comes along. I love you until your looks change. I love you until you let me down. God's love is nothing like that. God's love is from start to finish. And I didn't even say that correctly, because God's love is not just from start to finish. It's everlasting. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God loved us as soon as we were born. In fact, even before we were born, God loved us before we even knew about him. God loved us even when we did not, or even when we did know about him, but didn't love him back. When we accepted Christ into our life, he loved us. That's a whole lot easier to believe. But then we became cold again, whether for a short time or a long time. But he still loved us. He still loves us. He still loves us if we are standing at the threshold and still not coming back. And he still loves us when we do come back. He doesn't give up on us. Say you waited too long. The fact is, God's love is everlasting. We looked at how wide and how long God's love is. The next one, God's love is of immeasurable height. When we rate something, whether we do it with a scale of 1 through 10 or whether we call it the next level, the rating, the score gets higher the better it gets. Maybe we call it a 5-star rating. God's love is the highest. It's platinum, or however you want to look at it. It is the ultimate. Nothing can surpass it. And just like all the other aspects of God's love, it really is so perfect, it is immeasurable. This pure, next-level love is really called agape love. It's a sacrificial love that voluntarily suffers inconvenience, discomfort, loss, and even death for the benefit of another. For the benefit of the one loved or the ones loved, no return favor expected. It's hard to fathom a love that loves just because, but God's love is high. I think this aspect of love I get wrong so often in real life, and we do our children and spouse a favor by showing them that what this high love is all about. It will help them understand the highness and perfection of God's love. No, we can't do it perfectly. We are human, but we can love them just because. There's all kinds of terms we can think about. Scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. I'll walk through this hard time with you if you walk with me. Treat me right and I will treat you right. The old age-old karma theory. If I do good and love, it will return to me. I love for my benefit. Don't get me wrong. Unconditional love will have the greatest reward. But that's not why we do it. Otherwise, it won't be true, unconditional love. That's not why God loves us. If it was really about his advantage, he would have stopped loving us a long time ago. God's love is above that. God's love is high. God loves by action and just because he loves us. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Do we really understand how high God's love really is? Or would you picture God's love for us by how we love those around us? I love my family, I love my church, I love my parents, I love my spouse, and so on. But do we lay down our life like Christ laid down his life for us, the ultimate love? God's love is also high and pure because he wants us to have what he has. He wants us to experience what he has. Let me turn to John 17. John 17, we'll read verses 21 through 24. John 17, verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That's pure love. I want you to have and experience all the good that I have. I want to see you prosper. I'll use my privileges for your advantage. We can probably identify with that at least partially. Someone we care deeply about, someone we love. Those good times. We want to share those good times with them. Those good experiences. Those blessings. That's what Jesus is saying. Do I really understand that? Or am I caught up with myself and oblivious to how God really loves me? That God loves me with the ultimate love there is. Because of his measureless love, he became what we are, in order to enable us to become what he is. That's a quote from early Christ doctrines. Romans 8, verse 17, of children and of children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. How deep is God's love? God's love is so deep, you can't get to the bottom of it. It's rich, it's complex, full, strong. I think we all agreed at the beginning that we know God loves us. That's what we see on the top of the ocean. Beautiful blue waves, some dolphins jumping. It's a gorgeous sight. God's love is beautiful. But God's love is deep. There's far more going on than what initially meets the eye. Do I understand the depth of the Father's love? He's our shepherd, our strong tower. He's a rock in a weary land. He's our fortress. He's our help in time of trouble. He is our refuge. He is our everything. There's not one thing that he can't help us with. He's a good banker. He's a good lawyer. He's a perfect friend. Deep love is not over the top. We may talk about shallow friendship, or we may call someone a friend, and they are a friend, but it's just a simple friendship. We're not close. But God doesn't settle for those types of friendships. His love is deep. He has gone all out for us. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's how deep God's love is. It is truly unconditional. We turn to Romans 8 now. Romans 8, I'd like to read verses 35 through 39. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have the all-inspiring, powerful, unconditional love of God. And these verses confirm it once again that there's nothing that can separate us from it. We say sometimes that nothing can separate us from the love of God except we ourselves. But even that is not totally accurate because God's love is unconditional. He still loves us even if we do ourselves distance ourselves from him. This, however, brings us back to some of those questions that we had at the beginning. How can God be a God of love and yet be a God of anger? How can he be a God of judgment? Why does he allow evil to happen and so on? Well, I'm not sure if I will answer all these questions that may come to your mind, but some of the ones I have wrestled with or thought of, I want to try to explain. God is perfect and holy and just. We are familiar with the verse, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." God chastens us for our own good. God allows things to happen in our life to bring us around. Many times it is a result of our bad choices. But out of his love, he is chastening for our good. If he would do nothing for us, would that be love? Parents understand that disciplining their children, it might even be for the simplest thing. Sometimes we even stand back and let them experience a difficulty so they understand and learn. Probably more often we set parameters and consequences for wrong actions. Why do we do this? It's because we love them. We want what is best for them. Also in relation to good and evil, we cannot separate God's love and justice. And that was mentioned in Sunday school. We cannot separate God's love, justice, and mercy. For love to be genuine and godly, there has to be a right and wrong. The same goes with heaven and hell and final judgment. God's ultimate plan and desire is that everyone would be saved and go to heaven. But how could there be a place of perfection if evil was allowed there? God is a loving God and a God of justice, and therefore we can rest assured that he will be just and perfect in his judgments. Perfect love will not overlook sin. Perfect judgment will not either. Free will, or what we may more commonly call self-will. Sometimes we may see this as our worst enemy, but is it really? It really is God's greatest gift to us. Without choice, we would not have the capacity for genuine love and relationship with him. There would be no devotion and dedication to him. This also allows for the choice between good and evil. And so as we have the capacity to love God and the power of God's unconditional love in our life, there is the potential for a deeper and a more meaningful relationship with him. We also need to remember that we live in a sin-cursed world. Why and where did that come from? It is because of man's fallen nature and choice to be disobedient to God. It's not God that brought this onto mankind. It was man's choice. It was our choice. The very thing that is the greatest blessing and greatest gift in the world can so suddenly become our greatest curse when we choose to go against God. But God in his great love had a solution for all of this. We read that verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Even when man blew it so bad, God stepped in. In spite of the sin-cursed world and all the pain and suffering brought on by man's sinful choices, God loves and God makes a way. I really believe that God's unconditional love this morning is the all cure. Are you experiencing the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? Personally, after this study, I really had to wonder, do I really understand the love of God? I have so much more to know and understand. This morning, we barely scratched the surface. Remember, God's unconditional love is limitless. So welcome to the lifetime of experiencing the love of God. May the unconditional love of God inspire us to know God more fully, and may it inspire us to show to our families to our brothers and sisters, and to the world around us, the impact of God's life, of God's love in our life. How do you feel about God's love? Are you filled with peace and joy? Quote by Henry J.M. Nguyen, joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved and that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, or even death, can take that love away. We ourselves will let others down. Others will let us down. But there is a rock. There is a solid foundation for our joy. There is one who will never let us down and will love us unconditionally. He will power us through life's difficulties. He will help us love unconditionally, and he will dwell in us. I'd like to close by reading from 1 John. Let me turn there. 1 John 4, and we'll read verses 7 through 19. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love this morning. I thank you that I can be a part of a brotherhood that shows love as well, shows your love. Pray that you would help us all to stand strong and to share your love with the world around us. Help us to love unconditionally like you. Pray, Lord, that you would be with each one of us in our daily walk, our struggles. Maybe it's even the quiet struggles that nobody knows about. Lord, just nurture us and help us to stay true to you. Pray you would bless this afternoon, and also we pray for the evening singing. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.